Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm your host, Parker Fleming, recording this on May 25th, Wednesday afternoon. And we got a fun one here. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of speculation with the offseason, whether it's I already have people blowing up the timeline about Dylan Brooks trades, you know, draft talk with the combine last week. But one of the things that's really going to dominate this offseason is the Tyus Jones free agent speculation. You know, he had himself one hell of a year, a career year, in fact, averaging a right around 8 points per game and about four assists, shooting 39% from three. And I think the thing that's going to stick out to a lot of suitors the most is the fact that the Grizzlies were 20-6 when Tyus Jones started in place for Ja Morant. So, you know, with free agency coming up and the fact that there could be a starting opportunity out there for him, you know, he might be somebody that walks. And he did express in the exit interviews last week that being a starter is something that he's always wanted to do. So I've always said, you know, if Tyus Jones gets somewhere offered where he could potentially be a starting point guard, then he's probably going to go there. But I will get more into that here when I bring in my guest. But first, ways to get in touch with the podcast and with the blog. So GBB Live is the flagship podcast for the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network, alongside the 3&D podcast and the Starting Five podcast. So wherever you get your podcasts, Starting Five or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, iHeartRadio, you can find the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network there. And Grizzly Bear Blues is a blog under SB Nation. You can find out on the web at grizzlybearblues.com or on Twitter at SB and Grizzlies. Once again, I'm your host, Parker Fleming, and with me today is the founder of The Couch Critic, which is his personal Substack, and he's also a writer for Knicks Fan TV, the co-host of the Knicks State of Mind podcast presented by Elite Sports New York. It's Chip Murphy. Chip, how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. And, you know, I'm having you on because you wrote a really good column for Knicks Fan TV titled, "Is Tyus Jones the Answer for the New York Knicks?" And, you know, it's, you know, the main point guard destination for this offseason, whether that's trades, as longtime NBA reporter Mark Stein reported that, you know, the Knicks could be in play for trade targets like Malcolm Brogdon, D'Angelo Russell, Mike Conley, or free agents like Jalen Brunson or Tyus Jones. So, Chip, to you, why Tyus Jones? Why is he somebody that you want the Knicks to potentially go after to be the starting point guard for the 2022-2023 New York Knicks?
Well, I've always been a fan of his. We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I've been a fan since he was in college. I'm a Duke fan, and I've always liked his game. And he provides a stability to the offense. Like, he never turns the ball over. He's smart, which is something the Knicks desperately need. And I think his improvement with his jump shot is something the Knicks could really use. I know the three-point shot, this is the first year where it's become really consistent, but I'm buying how good it is. I don't know how high it'll keep up, but I really think he's can be a good shooter. I just think he provides a stability with his decision-making. I think he's a good defender, which is something the Knicks have needed at the one spot for a long time. And I think he's a starting caliber point guard player. And I love his, I talked about it, and thank you for the compliment on the piece too. And mm-hmm. I talked about in the piece, I talked about his floater too, which is such a weapon for a guy his size. And I think his is so undervalued, because I think the first thing that's talked about with him is his decision-making and the fact that he always leads the league in assist to turnover ratio. But he's really smart the way he uses a screen and can go and score on the floater. And with the way the Knicks have, their young bigs aren't really capable of doing anything other than diving to the rim and catching a lob. So if they were able to do something like just, you know, dribble out and hand the ball off to him, like, and grab an easy assist, something like that, like, if he's able to use a screen on, say, someone like Mitchell Robinson, yeah, like, that's an easy bucket for him. Someone giant like that, or Jericho Sims for us. Like, I just think he's a good fit with this roster, basically. I think he's a good fit with RJ Barrett. He's a guy who doesn't need to dominate the ball, basically, like, which is helpful for the Knicks because they need someone like RJ Barrett to have the ball more.
Right. And, you know, it's a very interesting point, because I think what Tyus Jones allows for the Knicks, and granted, I'm saying this as more of a expert-ish guy on Tyus Jones rather than I'm an outsider for the Knicks. So I don't understand the team dynamics the way that you do. But from an outsider's perspective, I see it as one of those things that Tyus Jones allows for a little bit more of like malleability of sorts. You know, like you said, he doesn't need to dominate the ball, which in turn allows RJ Barrett to get on the ball a little bit while also giving him a point guard that he could kind of rely on, and a veteran point guard who's not going to turn the ball over, and just overall like a really good floor general. And also too, I mean, I just got reminded the fact that even if Mitchell Robinson walks in free agency, they're going to have Jericho Sims just like exactly. waiting for him. And I feel like you can look at that Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark pairing from the past 3 years and just think, like, granted, like Jericho Sims or Mitchell Robinson, they don't have, you know, the production of Brandon Clark, but they're also both 4 to 5 inches taller than him. So just imagine giving Tyus Jones a 7-foot lob threat to have off pick and rolls. And then also too, like, you know, the Knicks, they're a Thibodeau team. Like, they're not going to be grinding out possessions or anything. I'm looking at the NBA website right now, and the Knicks are second to last in pace. So having a point guard that could...
embarrassing that is. They're so slow.
Hey, I feel
no
like
reason that's... reason to be slow, and they're slow.
That's what happens when you have Julius Randle as your number one option. Oh, but you have... But with that, though, I feel like for a low-paced team, it's important. It's even more important to have as many guys on the floor that can take care of the ball and not turn the ball over. And when you're having that start with your point guard, I think it could lead to, even though you're not getting as many possessions as a lot of these other teams, you know, like the Grizzlies or the Bucks or the Timberwolves, you're still able to find efficiency because you are taking care of the basketball and you are, for the most part, getting shots up in those possessions.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, Tom Thibodeau teams are always going to trend dominantly towards playing in the half court, no matter what he says in the media about how he wants to play more faster this year. It's just his teams are going to play in the half court, especially you mentioned Julius Randle. Julius Randle, the offense takes, I'm sure you've seen this with Ja Morant, the offense takes on the identity of its star player. And unfortunately, Julius Randle, when he dominates the ball and sometimes throws the ball all over the court in the half court, that's kind of why you need a guy who can handle the ball like Tyus Jones, who isn't going to do that in the half court. When your team is going to have the ball so much in the half court, someone who can, you know, kind of control the offense, not that he's going to have the ball obviously as much as Julius, but maybe you put him on the court with Julius and RJ. And I think one of the most important things with him, and I talked about this too, is I think he can play with Emmanuel quickly. And I think those quickly and RJ and Obi Toppin are the three most important Knicks going forward. And I think he pairs well with all three of those guys. And that might be the thing I like most about him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one thing that you could probably like pinpoint to that is his success alongside combo guards like De'Anthony Melton or another point guard like Ja Morant. Like the lineups this year with Ja and Tyus were really strong. And it's kind of an area that catches you off guard because it like Ja Morant and Tyus Jones, they aren't known for their defense. Tyus is improved in that area, but for the most part, still kind of working in that area. I mean, this season from cleaning the glass, their net rating was almost 15 points per 100 possessions and 383 possessions. And when you even get that to a combo guard like Tyus Jones, or not Tyus Jones, like De'Anthony Melton, they've been very productive together over the past 3 years and kind of maintain at a 6.4 net rating and a little over 1,200 possessions. So yeah, you know, that kind of fit with Emmanuel Quickly is enticing, especially when you have the numbers to back it up. And it kind of leads into one of my questions about this fit is, you know, they have veteran backups like Derrick Rose and Alec Burks, even RJ Barrett and Evan Fournier can handle the ball a little bit. But I feel like this could be an opportunity to trust Emmanuel Quickly a little bit more and see what he can do as a primary point guard. So why Tyus Jones at the potential expense of Emmanuel Quickly?
Well, to me, it's not the expense of Emmanuel Quickly. To me, I think you can play both of them because I'm a huge Quickly guy, and I think you can play Quickly and Jones together. And I think Quickly is the point guard of the future. But I don't think signing Jones, I know there's a lot of quick, there were a lot of Quickly. When I wrote the article, there were a lot of Knicks fans who saw the art. I'm glad you brought this up because a lot of Knicks fans saw the article and were like, no, Quickly's the guy. Just make Quickly the point guard. And I'm like, I don't think signing Jones means that you can't make Quickly the point guard. Unless Jones says, I want to be a starter wherever I go. Then obviously that's unfortunate, but you can't sign him. In my opinion, I don't think he should come in because I think Quickly should be the starter, but I think it would be really good for Quickly to play with Jones too. I think I don't think Quickly has necessarily earned the absolute right to start for sure. I think if Jones is flexible on coming off the bench and Quickly, I think for sure will, I think the two of them can make a good combination together. And I don't know. I don't think bringing in Jones hurts Quickly. As I know some Knicks fans think that bringing in Jones is, you know, is a move that's going to harm Quickly long term. I think you sign a guy to, it's not like you're going to sign Jones to a max contract. He's going to be here for the next 5 years, $100 million, whatever you're going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to most likely pay him. I mean, you're not going to pay him $20 million. You're going to pay him less than that, less than 15 probably, and to a tradable contract. You're paying a good number. And what I closed the piece with was the Knicks can't afford to turn away talent. So if Tyus Jones wants to come to the Knicks, who the hell are they to turn away Tyus Jones? That was basically my point on it too.
You know, and the fact that Tyus Jones has built himself up to that point, granted, he was awesome at Duke. I mean, Final Four, outstanding player of the year. Had Barack Obama calling him Tyus Stones at the at the White House visitation. That was probably one of my favorite stories I've written.
He was a teenager hitting those shots in the national championship game. It's crazy.
It was just nuts. And then, you know, the fact that in Minnesota, he was a third string point guard playing behind Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague, players like that. And really just the Grizzlies kind of took a bet on him being a backup caliber point guard, and he's emerged into the best backup point guard in the NBA. I don't think you could debate that when he has a 20-6 record as a starting point guard. He's led the league in assist to turnover ratio over the past 3 years. I think you can go ahead and kind of solidify that, but the fact that he's built himself up to that point and in line for a starting spot, you know, it's credit for the opportunity, but also like credit to like how his game's developed, especially becoming more of a threat as an outside shooter, leaning on that floater. And then one thing that you mentioned is how he's been able to even take on a higher usage and still maintain that efficiency. And I think for that, and especially for like the Knicks' point of view, that is something that you want to see out of a guy that could be in line for a starting spot, is how is that efficiency going to translate when he has a higher usage? And surely you got to be feeling good about what you've seen this past season with Tyus Jones in that regard.
Absolutely. For sure. I think it's always like, it's difficult. You mentioned that the best backup point guard is kind of a gift and a curse. The label, I think, like we saw Dennis Schroeder when he was with Oklahoma City put up these massive bananas numbers. Yeah. When he was coming off the bench with them, and look what happened. He went to LA and there were these huge expectations and it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. But then you look at Jalen Brunson with Dallas, and he was considered the best backup point guard in the NBA. And now he's going to be, he's going to get a huge contract. He's playing with Luka Doncic. He's going to get $180 to $100 million. And it's that best backup quarterback in the NFL label. It becomes, mm-hmm. if you fill in for the starter like Tyus Jones did, and you have a good run like Tyus Jones did, are you good enough to start, or are you just someone who can win in small sample sizes? And I think Tyus Jones, you mentioned 20-6. I think that's enough of a sample size to say mm-hmm. this guy can lead an offense if he has enough talent around him, because in Memphis, he did have a lot of talent around yeah. him. It was a really good team. So I'm not going to say like, oh, if he goes to the Orlando Magic, they're going to be good. Of course not. But I think if the Knicks have enough talent around him, I think he can be a starting point guard in the NBA too. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see for sure. And, you know, it's one of those things too where, I mean, you, like for the Knicks, and this is another question I want to ask you in this regard, is like the Knicks, you know, they have a chance like in this regard where they can upgrade their roster by actually getting a starting point guard. I will say, just from box score watching, it would always baffle me to see Alec Burks starting at point guard over guys like Emmanuel Quickley and Miles McBride, where it's like, hey, what are you fighting for at this point? Like, go ahead and see what your young guys got. And I remember like Kevin O'Connor, like in his like seven things column, he would write pretty frequently about different young players on the Knicks. Like whenever they got opportunities, they balled out. And you know, like with that, and especially with the way the Eastern Conference is right now, I mean, a lot of those teams in the top six, they aren't going away. Brooklyn, Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, they're not going away either. So with that, and also too, the fact that the 2023 draft class is already shaping up to be pretty special with Victor Wembanyama, Scoot Henderson, like, is New York really in a position to, you know, take on like a win now move with a guy like Tyus Jones? Does he kind of allow for you to soft pivot to a February teardown if it looks like ping pong balls are in play? Like, I'm trying to just figure out that dynamic. I feel like they're in a spot where they have a chance to add a generational talent and they're just kind of caught up in the play-in in a sense.
Well, first of all, you watch the box score of Alec Burks playing point guard. Imagine having to watch the games of Alec Burks playing point guard. It's a complete nightmare. Oh, it was a disaster. And he's a good player, but being miscast in that role, it was sad to watch him because he was so good for us last 2 years ago. And we wouldn't have had as good a record as we did probably without him. He played really – the one game we won against the Hawks, he played really well. But to your sorry, can you repeat your question? I just was thinking about Alec Burks for too long.
It's all good. Basically, just the point of like, you know, with Tyus Jones, he seems more of a win now move. And I kind of feel like the Knicks are just obsessed with the play-in, but like I think with the way the Eastern Conference landscape is shaking out, like they have a real chance to like kind of position themselves next season to get into that sweepstakes to go get a Victor Wembanyama or a Scoot Henderson instead of, you know, fighting for the play-in and just, or back then the playoffs and just inevitably get the ninth pick.
My feeling on it is, as much as I would like for this front office to accept some sort of reality. As long as Tom Thibodeau is the head coach, they're never going to be like, oh, this is not the right move because it's a win now move. They're never going to tank, yeah, if you want to use that word, which I don't, I think they have too many good players on the team right now to tank per se. I think they'd need to trade, like they'd need to trade Randall, obviously. They need to trade Fournier. That would be step one and two. And I just don't, with Tom Thibodeau as your head coach, you're not going to do that. And yet, Tyus Jones is a guy who helps you win. You sign him to help you win, for sure. But I also think it's a good move for your future, too. I think you put him, like I said with Quickly, you put him, I know Tyus, I'm talking about Tyus like he's an old veteran, but he's a young guy, he's 26. He plays like an older veteran. Yeah. He's learned like one, and he's, you know, he's got winning experience. He's got playoff experience. There's a lot that Quickly and Obi and Sims and can learn from him. And obviously him and RJ know each other and are going to get along. And Cam Reddish is there. And I forgot about Cam too. And I just think he'd be a really good fit with these young guys. And that's something that really matters, in my opinion. Might not matter to Tibbs very much, but he will be able to help us win, which will matter to Tibbs.
For sure. And, you know, it's one thing that you said about Tyus Jones. Like, you know, he is a veteran. Like this, he just completed his seventh season in the league. So when you sign, it'll be eighth year in the league. But he'll be entering his, like, 26. I mean, it's just kind of wild. Yeah. It's like he's still young, but has still such a wealth of experience. And, you know, you talk about his performance and like even as a starter, I think so this season as a starter, he averaged 12.6 points, about 6 to 7 assists, and he shot 40% from three in those games as a starter. And then he also had two games as a starter in the playoffs before kind of running out of gas in game six. He had 19.6 rebounds, 5 assists in game four. And hit 3 out of his 7 threes. And in game 5, he had 21 points, 9 assists. And, oh, yeah, in those two games, he only had 1 turnover combined while playing 41 minutes in game 4, 25 in game 5. And he also went 4-7 from 3 then. So, like, you have this evidence of him also being a solid starting point guard. Like, in the second round of the playoffs, like, it's not like one of those things like, oh, it's a 1-8 or – no disrespect to the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 2-7. Like, they're playing the Golden State Warriors, who are right now the favorites to probably win the whole thing. That says a lot when you get into these free agency negotiations, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're his agent, you bring up immediately how he looked in the playoffs, right? And his record as the starter, that's what you got to go to first. He's just a winner. That's what you go to. Tyus Jones is a winner.
For sure. Absolutely. And so we'll have one more question about Tyus Jones, and it will actually be our question of the day. Shout out to the 78 people that voted on this question. And the question is, how much money do you think Tyus Jones will command in free agency? 1.7% of the people said he'll get less than the mid-level, so less than $9.5 million. 24.1% said the mid-level, which would be around 9.5 to 10 million. 65.5%, which was the winner, had $11 to $14 million, and an 8.6% of the voters said $15 million or more. So, Chip, where do you fall on this?
I believe I voted on it was 11 to 14 million, right?
Yes,
I voted 11 to 14, and I actually looked it up, and I was looking at the Devontae Graham's contract that he signed last year. I thought that was a good point of reference because he was he signed for 4 years, $47 million, and I think 37 million of it is guaranteed. And he was 26 last year when he signed it, like Tyus, and he was breaking out like Tyus is right now when he signed it. And this year he made $11 million. Next year, 2022-23, he makes 11.5, 23-24 makes 12.1, 24-25, he'll make 12.6. So a pretty good contract. I think that's a pretty good number for Tyus. If I'm Tyus's agent, I go in like we were just talking about. I go in and I say, we're not taking anything less than Devontae Graham's number, because I think Tyus is just as valuable, if not maybe more, probably more than Devontae Graham. So I think 4 years, 48 is a good number for Tyus. And I think it's most importantly, we know every team thinks about this. It will be, as long as he keeps up this production and stays healthy, it'll be a very tradable contract.
Absolutely. Because, you know, everybody's looking for starting point guards. And I actually had the mid-level exception just because I think the trade market is going to get a little crazier than we expect. You know, D'Angelo Russell of Minnesota and their new ownership. Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon, who's finally tradable.
Yeah, he's and gone, clearly.
Brogdon. Malcolm, yeah, and Malcolm Brogdon kind of doesn't seem like the direction they want to go with Tyrese Haliburton at the helm and the potential prospect of having a guy like Shaedon Sharpe or Dyson Daniels at six ready to pick, who's a better and younger fit. And then obviously Utah with Mike Conley, he definitely has a tougher contract to trade, but I say like a team like the Knicks, like you have tradable, like you have big contracts that could equal Mike Conley's salary number. And it's ironic. This is a Grizzlies podcast and I'm bringing up a former Grizzly for a Knicks point guard, but I mean, you could take like the Fournier contract and the Alec Burks contract and get Mike Conley. And in that you're opening up a roster spot. So I just think the point guard market is going to shake out a little bit more unexpected right now, just because the trade winds that are bound to happen over the next several weeks. And I think you'll ultimately end up being like the mid-level. And if there's a starting spot that's available, he's going to take it. But I think if no one else is offering a starting spot, he'll be back in Memphis.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of teams with cap room either.
Right.
And is he really like that? That's the thing. We were talking about this on my podcast too. Is he really going to want to like leave the Memphis Grizzlies to go sign with the Pistons? Like, I don't think so. So yeah, you could be right. If he doesn't want to come to the Knicks, he could very well end up back in Memphis on a pretty team-friendly deal. I'm just not sure he's going to have a lot of options is the other thing. Off the top of my head, I don't know all the other teams that have cap room. I know Dallas can make some room, and maybe if Brunson goes to New York, I think he'll probably be someone that Dallas looks at. But I don't know. He's going to be a coveted free agent for the teams that do have cap room, but I don't know. It's going to depend, I guess, on how much can Memphis offer? Do we know the maximum that Memphis can offer him?
I'm not sure on the maximum they can offer him. All I know is that they likely have his bird rights. I just don't know at what number that is. But I think Cleaning the Glass says that they have his bird rights up to $16 million. That's right. I don't know. That's the free agent cap hold they have on Tyus Jones. It's about $16 million. I don't think they would pay that much, but that's what it's shaking out to be right now.
Right. Because do you think they saw this year coming where he improved this much with his three-point shot? They probably didn't think they'd have to pay anywhere close to that much, right?
I would say so. Just because with Tyus, I do think at some point they would have seen a regression back to the mean for his jumper. In his first season with Memphis, he shot about 38% from three, and that number kind of plummeted down to 32%. And, you know, that season was so weird with COVID, limited practice time, all that. So I don't think they probably took that much stock in that decrease right there. And, you know, they bet on it, and he had a career year as a result, and now he's setting himself up to become a starting point guard with a very nice contract underway over the next 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, he's going to make somewhere close to, if maybe more than $50 million. I would be surprised if he doesn't make anywhere around $50
million. Yeah, I mean, it could very much be one of those things where we look up and obviously we will say this out of pure happiness, but we'll be like, Tyus Jones just made what? But yeah, it would be much deserved for sure.
He had a great year, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a lot less, but I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to be one of those guys that a lot of teams sneaky like, but it's not like a super strong free agent class, which is why I think he's going to be why I think he's going to be a coveted guy. So I don't know. Their free agent rumor season hasn't started yet. It's still draft lie rumor season.
Absolutely. And you know, after the ad break, we're going to get into some of those draft rumors, those draft talks. So don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. All right. So Chip, I want to give a shout out to the guys over at 92.9, Mark Giannotto, Jeffrey Wright, Connor Wright on their 2-4 show. They've been doing a Grizzlies trade of the day, throwing out different trade ideas, basically saying yay or nay on them. And I had one that I had sent my friend Connor the other day, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Chip.
Okay.
So the Knicks get De'Anthony Melton, the 22nd pick and the 29th pick, in exchange for Alec Burks and the 11th pick. Is that something that you would probably think on as a Knicks fan, or is that 11th pick just too valuable to give up on?
I would not do it, but I'm really high on Johnny Davis.
Okay.
And I'm hoping he goes hoping he falls to 11. And so I wouldn't do it. I just think we really need, and I have a lot of faith in this front office to draft well, because we drafted so well, and I like De'Anthony Melton too, but no, I wouldn't do it just because I think there's guys who are going to be there at 11 who won't be there at 22, like someone of Davis's caliber. And I think he'd be great for us. I would prefer if the Knicks traded up than trade down. So I wouldn't do that one.
Okay, so what would it take from the Memphis Grizzlies to move up into the 11th pick? And I'm just asking this because, you know, the Grizzlies, especially this front office, they have a habit of trading up. In the 2019 draft, traded up from 23 to 21 to get Brandon Clark. And then in the 2020 draft, traded up from 40 to 35 to get Xavier Tillman. And last year, they traded from 17 to 10 to get Zaire Williams. And then they went from, I want to say, 51 to 40 to 30 to get Santi Aldama. So trading up is something they don't mind doing if it means getting their guy. So with the Knicks, they have contracts they might want to unload. The Grizzlies have a little bit of cap space that they can do so. What would it take for the Memphis Grizzlies and New York Knicks to make a deal revolving around that 11th pick in your eyes?
Do you want Julius Randle? You can have Julius Randle.
Oh God. I don't know. I don't know. That's a very interesting proposition.
Is it really?
I wouldn't do it, but it's also one of those things, like, granted, you can take whatever you want from that 2020-2021 season, but I mean, still a guy removed from an all NBA team, an all-star team, the best player on a team that had front court in the playoffs. It's interesting, but it doesn't strike me as the kind of move this front office would make, especially since, I don't know where they're going to go yet with Jaren Jackson Jr. and if they're going to make him a 5 or a 4. But at the same time, they've kind of made this priority to make sure that the clear number 1, 2, 3 options are Ja, Bane, and Jaren Jackson. And, you know, I don't know if they would want that guy to be out of the front court, a guy that shoots a lot of twos. It kind of strikes me that they make a move for a guy that kind of shakes up the hierarchy. It's a guy with a little bit of a higher three-point volume. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a Julius Randle, but, I mean, crazier things have happened. But I don't think Julius Randle is on the Grizzlies' radar whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm, like, half joking when I say that. But I do like – I like De'Anthony Melton when you said that, but I would prefer like Zaire Williams. I really like, all Knicks fans would like him. And I know the Grizzlies aren't going to want to trade him. Like Zaire Williams. I like Brandon Clark. Those are two guys who I would like, but obviously both of those picks I don't know, man. I really don't want to trade back from 11.
Look, this is shaping up to be a good draft class. So I don't blame you. I really don't. I mean, if they do, I think if the Knicks trade, they're going to trade up. If anything, I think anything to trade a guy like Evan Fournier with the 11th pick to get off his contract would be pretty short-sighted on their part. Especially since, you know, like you said in the last segment, this isn't a deep free agency class. Like, there isn't anybody you need to be shelling out cap space for. It's not like, and I'm not meaning to hit too close to home with this, but it's not like the 2019 all season when you had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, guys like that entering free agency. You're not having that. I mean, if they want to make room for a guy like Zach LaVine, then that or trading away the 11th pick, trade that, or it kind of ease that sting a little bit. But yeah, I do not blame you, Chip. I really don't.
Yeah, it's just there's so many. There's Johnny Davis and, you know, Mathurin, Sohan, like, you know, Duren, your guy, Duren, Williams. Yeah. Tari, I like, you know, Malachi Branham is someone who, if you were paying attention to the combine, Malachi, oh my God, now he's a guy who you may want to be taking at 11. The one guy who I could see you trading down and then maybe crossing your fingers that he gets to 22 is like Okai Agbaji from Kansas. Like, maybe he slips because of his age, but I don't really want to take the chance that he falls one guy. So yeah, I think I'd stay at 11. I think it's such a risk going down that many spots. And then of course, with our luck, we'll the 11th pick, you guys will take a Hall of Famer. So I don't want to take that chance either.
I totally understand that for sure. And I mean, this is a really good draft class. There's a lot of fits for the Knicks, a lot of different directions that can go down. You know, you bring up combo guards like Johnny Davis or big forwards like Jeremy Sohan and Terry Eason. I mean, I'm a big fan of Terry Eason, like he or Terry Tari. I'm a big fan of his. You can end up just wanting to replace Mitchell Robinson and go get Jalen Duren or Mark Williams, Malachi Branham. Like, there's just a lot of different directions at that spot. And I think that's one thing that intrigues me about this draft and like the little separation there is from spots 11 through 25, really. But also too, just a lot of guys that could potentially fall down from that top 10. And next thing you know, you're walking into something good. So yeah,
every draft, there's at least one guy who falls who you're not expecting to fall. So, and sometimes it's in that like 8 through 11 range and maybe you get lucky, but I don't know. It's an interesting draft because a lot of these mocks, they're different for once. Like Johnny Davis is a guy who we've mentioned a lot now who it's very interesting because sometimes he'll be there at like 11 or 12 and then sometimes he's gone at like 5 or 6 or something wild like that. I think teams are a little all over on him. I like Davis a lot for the Knicks. He would be the guy that I want. And like I said, I don't want to trade down because he won't be there.
For sure. I totally understand. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, you know, Johnny Davis or AJ Griffin Jr., like there's a lot of dudes that could just fall. And as a team that, you know, that 11 through 14 in the lottery, it represents hey, we're almost there. Like, let's try to get this swing right here. And if it hits, then there we are at that level. It's a lot easier to go from a 35-win team to a 45-win team than it is to go from a 20-win team to a 500 team. Like, so, yeah. And I'll wrap up the show with this. So, you know, this is a Memphis Grizzlies podcast. A lot of listeners here are Memphis Tiger fans. What are your thoughts on Jalen Duren and his potential fit with the New York Knicks? Is that something that intrigues you, or would you rather go down a different direction? Like, what is it that you might like or don't like about his game?
Well, it definitely intrigues me because he's been mocked to us all over the place. And I've been looking at him recently, and everywhere I look, it's like, oh, Mitchell Robinson replacement, Jalen Duren and Mark Williams. Everybody's comparing the two of them, saying we should take one of them. And yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's going to be really good, and his upside is obviously huge. That's the first thing you see when you see him. And he's an incredible shot blocker. He's super young, and I don't know if he's ready to come in right away and start for Mitch. But look, if they take him at 11, I think I wouldn't be upset about it. Or anything. He's not like my first choice. Like I already said, I think they need Dave. I think they need a wing, a scoring wing. But if they look, I'm not a huge Mitch guy. I'm not a big fan of paying him, committing money to him long term. So if they, I mean, drafting Durant at 11 would essentially be like saying, all right, we're letting Mitchell Robinson walk in free agency. So if that's the plan, I wouldn't be against that. But yeah, you at the same time, you have to commit resources to him. And just based on you watching him, he the stuff he's not good at is stuff that 18-year-old kids typically aren't very good at, like the simple stuff, like the fundamentals and all that. Like he just needs to get that down. But a lot of the other stuff, like just the stuff that centers are supposed to dominate at, like he has, his body is so unbelievable. Like the seven, obviously the 7'5" wingspan, and he's just really strong and he can finish well inside. He's got a little bit of hint of a mid-range game too. Like it just looks like he can be a stud. And I'm wing first for us. But if they took him at 11, I think it would be a good pick too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting to see how it's all going to shake out in a little less than a month. So I know this is going to be a busy time for you, Chip. And I know over at Grizzly Bear Blues, we're going to be diving into the draft next week. But do you have any final comments before we close the show here?
On the draft, it's going to be a wild one, man. I'm very excited about it, and I really appreciate you having me on. I know you said this is your first show as the host, right?
Yeah, first show as the official host. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on for this one, and I guess I should plug myself. I always feel uncomfortable, awkward doing that, but my Twitter is at ChipMurphy7. And you can find everything that I write on, like you mentioned earlier, Knicks Fan TV. We're the best Knicks site. We have great writers there. We have CP does all our Knicks stuff. It's a great site. Go to Knicks Fan TV and you can find all my Knicks content there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Y'all make sure y'all do that. Chip does a lot of great stuff, and I know he has his Tyus Jones article pinned in his Twitter profile. So Make sure y'all check that out. Give him a shout. Read up on Knicks Fan TV. Read his Substack, The Couch Critic, and check out his podcasts. And, you know, Chip, I really appreciate you coming on. You can find me on Twitter at @Paka_Flock. And make sure you are reading the blog at grizzlybearblues.com and following us on Twitter at SP and Grizzlies. We are wrapping up our player reviews, and our staff's done an awesome job on breaking down every single player from the Memphis Grizzlies and the different angles from this season and what could be in store going forward. And, you know, it's going to be very exciting to also break down the draft and get fun, get creative with the draft. I also have another announcement coming Thursday. Yeah. On Thursday. So make sure y'all check Twitter and see what that's all about. But yeah, that's about all we have for GBB Live. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast network wherever you get your podcast. And it's GBB Next Gen. So we'll talk again soon, everyone.